Thank you, Madam Chair, for giving me the floor, and thank you to the U.S. delegation for your question, to which I would be happy to respond. First, it should be borne in mind that the 1540 Committee has a matchmaking role when it comes to assistance. I'll give a slight bit more detail about what that means now, 15 years after adoption of the resolution. But with that said, the group of experts and the committee do work with states in different ways. And I'll just give some more detail further to what I had mentioned in the statement. First, peer reviews, the committee is finding, have been very effective. This is where two states basically go into detail in one another's capitals over the course of two meetings, in some cases more. And in fact, one of the peer reviews included four countries, but they go into detail about the resolution. They share their challenges with one another, and they also have field trips, visits to, for example, customs facilities. I had the honor to participate in a very recent peer review between Panama and the Dominican Republic, and they showed us several facilities, such as the Megaport in Santo Domingo, a radioactive source storage site, and so on. So these are very effective for learning, for countries to learn about the challenges that they face in implementing the resolution, but also they share ideas about how to implement it that the other country can learn from. Some other recent ones included Chile and Colombia, and an upcoming peer review is between Paraguay and Uruguay. That will start taking place later this month. As I said, the 1540 Committee undertakes a matchmaking function. The procedures have been streamlined. The committee recognized that they had become a bit unwieldy, so they're much more streamlined, and the turnaround is much faster now. In addition, the group of experts has worked very hard to clear out the backlog of assistance requests. So for those of you who are familiar with our website and go to the assistance pages, you'll see that the assistance requests page, much of the backlog has been cleared out. Because we followed up with every single assistance requesting state to see which ones, whose requests had been met and who still had outstanding requests. And those outstanding requests are still on the website. In addition, we reached out to all assistance offering states. This was a letter that went out by the chair, asking all states offering assistance to please update their offer. And to let us know if their existing offer remained the same. We also asked states that had not yet offered assistance if they were interested in doing so. And all of those new offers are posted on the website. Some areas where the committee, with its supporting group of experts, have been directly involved with working with states, for example, is drafting national action plans. I mentioned this briefly in my statement. Most recently, we worked with Madagascar, and we look forward to them submitting a national action plan to the committee, which details, as do most national action plans, who will be, which ministry will be responsible for carrying out which aspects of implementation of the resolution with timeframes. We've also worked with states to review implementation of an action plan. For example, myself and a colleague, another expert, we were in Peru, in Lima, Peru, to review implementation of their action plan, and some areas where progress was being made were highlighted during those very helpful discussions. And in addition, the experts work with states on first reports. There are still 11 states that have yet to submit an additional report. So for example, myself and my Russian colleague, we went to Mali last fall to help Mali draft their first report. And then I think a very helpful event that I did describe in my statement, I'll give a bit more context to this, is the points of contact trainings. As with the BWC, as with OPCW, the 1540 Committee also encourages states to appoint a point of contact with whom the committee can communicate. And then there are trainings. This was called for in a Security Council resolution. Trainings for these points of contact. As I mentioned, there were two last year for Anglophone and Francophone countries in Addis Ababa. There was a point of contact training for member states of the OSCE and Rostov-on-Don in the Russian Federation. And there's an upcoming point of training in Xiamen, China. So thank you to those governments for hosting these very important points of contact trainings. And during those trainings, very detailed presentations are given on the requirements of each of the operative paragraphs of the resolution. And then there are breakout sessions to better understand each country's challenges. And I believe this was another part of the question from the U.S. delegation. Some of those challenges include capacity, technical expertise, financial constraints, and other priorities. So this is precisely why the committee offers these points of contact trainings. I should add there's actually another upcoming training that will be for the Caribbean region, thanks to funding from the Government of Canada, and that will take place in Barbados in September. And I've already mentioned, yes, the matchmaking process and how we've updated our assistance requests and offers pages. And I should add, it's not just assistance offers from member states, but also from international organizations. So we're very grateful, for example, for offers from my friend just down the table here, Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, but also World Customs Organization, OIE, International Maritime Organization, and so on. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you.